to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
The people that live up there, and many of those who were the victims of this fire, consider the McKenzie to be home and will go back.
It was an unprecedented and unparalleled interagency response from those in the fire themselves all the way up to the highest level of government. We still have many obstacles and needs in front of us in order to recover for that area.
I've been thinking about the question before us of what it means to rebuild. And it occurs to me that you have to have a solid understanding of what was lost.
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, Lane County, and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's January 29th, 2021 program, After the Holiday Farm Fire, What Does It Mean to Rebuild? This is the 18th program of our 2020-2021 programming year. My name is Scott Coltrane, and I'm the City Club President. Support for the City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Our programs are always available on our YouTube channel and our Facebook page, and are broadcast on public radio station KLCC FM 89.7 on Mondays at 7 p.m. Today's program is our second, focused on the Holiday Farm Fire. Just over 4 months ago, the Holiday Farm Fire consumed more than 173,000 acres of the McKenzie River Valley. For many residents, the past few months have been focused solely on survival, enduring the immediate aftermath of the fire, and simply making it through the winter. City Club presented a first program on the Holiday Farm Fire in November with speakers from the McKenzie River Trust, United Way of Lane County, and the U.S. Forest Service Research Department. For the second City Club program on the fire, we turn our attention to recovery. What does it mean to rebuild after a disaster of this scale in a place like this? Community members and local organizations are adapting to multi-year recovery timelines. Local agencies are working to support recovery and mitigate future disasters amidst a radically altered, unsettled landscape. Home to several hundred Valley residents, the McKenzie River is also the sole source of water for over 200,000 area residents. Our speakers today include Tim Lawy of the McKenzie Community Development Corporation, Heather Buck, East Lane County Commissioner, Janine Parisi from the Eugene Water and Electric Board. Their biographies can be found on our website at cityclubofeugene.org. I would like to thank Karin Knudsen for coordinating today's program.
Thank you, Scott, and welcome City Club members and listeners to today's program. I'm Karin Knudsen, a member of City Club's program committee. We'll get started in just one moment with our three speakers for today in our second program, talking about the Holiday Farm Fire. But I first wanted to just offer a warning to listeners that we will be discussing that natural disaster and the traumatic events of that disaster and following it openly in this City Club program. So please bear that in mind as you're listening, and take that into account if you have younger listeners or are experiencing trauma related to this event. And with that, I will hand it off to Tim Lawy, president of the McKenzie Community Development Corporation, as our first speaker.
My name is Tim Lawy, and I'm the president of the McKenzie Community Development Corporation. But I am also, we also lost my home, our home, and our cottage, which was a separate building in the fire. So I would just say that at almost 70 years of age, we never expected to be in the circumstance where we lost almost everything materially, but most important, those things that had meaning to us that cannot be replaced. And I know a lot of people in the community who had the same experience, pretty much everyone in the community who lost their homes or they were significantly damaged. The people that live up there, and many of those who were the victims of this fire, consider the McKinsey to be home and will go back because it's an extraordinary landscape, it's unique in the world, and it has the best water on earth. I'm hoping that we are able to accommodate that in the process of rebuilding, but that's going to take some time. I guess I would say the community is coming to grips with a few things right about now. We were informed that there's a trajectory to recovery for both individual and communities in any kind of natural disaster, whether it's a wildfire, a flood, an earthquake, a hurricane. And that is for the first 2 or 3 months, people feel a sense of community cohesion because what happens is CNN is there, The Times is there, FEMA is there, and others, and they feel like people have had their back. They're also in the state of shock. After that period, there's about 3 months where spirits fall, precipitously fall, because people are beginning to evaluate their loss and recognize that there aren't a lot of steps forward that aren't going to be difficult and hard on them. So with that, I think that's a pretty good sense of our individual experience with it. It's hard for people to understand, and it's hard for the people who have had it to try and explain it. And the best thing I could recommend to people, if you're able to do it, is drive through the fire area, because that can give you a sense of what it's like on a deeper level than can just be explained in words. With that, I'm going to hand this off to my county commissioner, and who's the East Lane commissioner, Heather Buck, who has done an extraordinary job in the valley since the fire.
Thank you so much, Tim. Thank you, City Club members, for having us today and keeping this topic on your minds. We will need to engage to help this community for many years to come. My name is Heather Buck. I'm Lane County Commissioner for District 5, in which the Holiday Farm fire occurred. On the day of the fire, our emergency manager had warned and put an alert out to Lane County employees and sheriffs and other agencies regarding the high wind potential of that evening. So the county was on alert. Of course, we didn't know what was in store, but we wanted to be as prepared as possible just in case. And sure enough, that was necessary that evening. In the immediate moment and subsequent aftermath, the county engaged a second EOC, Emergency Operations Center. If you recall, we already had one emergency operations center up because of the coronavirus pandemic that had consumed most of us by then. And all of our minds were on coronavirus. In an instant, our minds were on the devastating wildfire and getting lives out of the incoming path of fire that was still going for several days. That emergency operations center was integral in initially assessing and getting people safe. It was an unprecedented and unparalleled interagency response from those in the fire themselves all the way up to the highest level of government. We were not the only ones engulfed in fire that evening. So everybody's minds and energy was focused on saving lives that evening and several days after. In that emergency operations center, we had been preparing at the county level for a formal operations center ever since Snowmageddon a year or two before. And so we were getting prepared more and more at the county and how to respond to emergencies. And right when we were about to wrap up a formal unveiling of our emergency operations, the Holiday Farm fire hit. So I'm thankful for that energy and resources that went into that so that we had everything ready at hand to go. Since that evening and subsequent days following, I was stationed at the incident command post in the Springfield schools with all the governmental agencies, National Guard, Forest Service, etc., who were all responding. And the EOC was made up of other Linn County staff and our sheriff's office with their partners. We still have many, many obstacles and needs in front of us in order to recover for that area. We have needs for housing. We have needs for support for rebuilding. And that includes, you know, land use issues, the actual process of going through insurance claims, which is a whole world in and of itself. And then being able to walk through the process of rebuilding when we're also in the midst of working with state agencies on how to clean up hazmat materials. What do we do with all the trees that are damaged and know will come down at some point? And then also the ash and debris cleanup. And how do we do this as fast as humanly possible at a scale where we're also competing against resources with other areas of the state who are going through the exact same thing at the exact same time and really wanting to move towards the next stage in actual rebuilding. We've got a lot of staff at the county that has been working on this ever since that evening. The county is the one agency that will be there from the very beginning throughout to the very end of recovery as other agencies with technical support and expertise come and go to help us in each phase. I'm proud to be there for residents in that area and continue to do outreach and be at as many meetings, Zoom may they be, or in person if it's safe and possible. Looking ahead, we have a new recovery coordinator for that area that's come on board. We are hiring three dedicated land use planners specific for the recovery of that area. You may have also heard that we were able to add some dedicated deputy patrols to that area. We recently heard that we were accepted for the FEMA housing mission to help with additional housing resources upriver so people can rebuild in the area in which they're from. That was an appeal process that was painstakingly challenging, but finally came through with the help of our federal delegation, in particular Congressman DeFazio, Senator Merkley, and Senator Wyden. I thank them very much. And other issues, including rural broadband, which is another big area where we need additional help and resources to help people want to move back safely. With that, I will pass this on to Janine Parisi from eWeb.
Thank you, Commissioner Buck. I'm Janine Parisi. I work for eWeb, and I'm here representing the Mackenzie Watershed Recovery Task Force. And just wanted to start by thanking Commissioner Buck and Tim Lowry for their leadership. We've gotten a chance to know each other and work closely over these past couple of months, and it's been an extraordinary effort. I've been thinking about the question before us at City Club of what it means to rebuild. And it occurs to me that you have to have a solid understanding of what was lost. We've just experienced one of the state's largest wildfires in the middle of the McKenzie watershed. And it's just difficult to quantify the scale and magnitude of devastation. You know, Tim just shared this deep sense of loss from the fire victim perspective. And if you take that drive up 126, as he suggested, it really will send shockwaves through you. So I'm not sure we can fully grasp the reverberations of a fire this large and hot to our upriver communities, the economy, the McKenzie River watershed that is so vital to the 200,000 people that depend on it for drinking water. I could give you a few stats from the UF fire response to help paint the picture. You know, we've had to remove and replace 223 power poles. It took nearly 80,000 feet of electric wire to restore service to our upriver customers. But this really just scratches the surface of the rebuild effort. As thousands of hazard trees have been removed, there's a lot more to still come out. Residents are just now making that decision whether to rebuild or start over somewhere else. So we're still taking inventory and we're gathering the resolve for a long recovery ahead. I can tell you that UF decided to take early action to protect water quality. Our Board of Commissioners provided immediate funding, just over $1 million, to get boots on the ground to render assistance to landowners while keeping toxic ash and hazardous materials from entering the river. So that in a matter of weeks, not months, we were able to contact 100 property owners with land along the river whose structures were destroyed. With their permission, our contractors pulled fire damaged material up and away from the river. We secured those materials under tarps and we put down erosion control measures. Time is of the essence to stabilize those properties so that when the rains came, and we knew they would, the debris and toxic ash could be kept out of the river. We were also able to use those board approved dollars to pivot the existing Pure Water Partnership, the PWP. This is a coalition including UEV, the McKenzie Watershed Council, the East Lane Soil and Water Conservation District, and the McKenzie River Trust, and that's a mouthful to get out. This coalition has been offering burn assessments and support to landowners to identify hazard trees, to help with mulching, hydroseeding, silt fencing, all in order to stabilize their properties and help them get through this winter. The PWP partnerships completed almost 25 burn assessments and helped property owners with erosion control measures on about half of those sites so far. EWEB's worked with our federal partners to get additional water quality monitoring equipment installed at river. This equipment will alert us to high flows and sediment in the river hours before that river the water heads downstream, so we can adjust treatment practices at Hayden Bridge Filtration Plant if necessary. This helps make sure that our customers in town continue to have safe, high quality drinking water despite the new threats posed by this fire. And this is at the heart of our work, the reason we're so heavily engaged in restoration activities in the fire zone, even though most of our customers are in town. Because our prime directive at EWEB is to provide reliable, safe drinking water to our community. And that means protecting water at the source, miles upstream from town and all the way down to the taps at your homes and businesses. So I'll turn from the emergency response last year to those immediate actions to what we're doing for 2021. The PWP partners continued the burn assessments and putting down erosion control measures. And now we are ready to begin revegetation efforts on some 100 acres of priority riparian properties with the help of 180,000 native plants provided to us through the Bonneville Environmental Foundation. We'll be monitoring the effectiveness of measures already installed throughout the spring, as well as be on the lookout for outbreaks of invasive weeds, which left unchecked can be calamitous to riparian habitats. We're applying for grants through FEMA. We're reaching out to our state partners, all to try to secure funding to conduct large-scale floodplain restoration projects targeted towards those heavily burned portions of the watershed, including Finn Rock, which is managed by the McKenzie River Trust, and Gates and Quartz Creeks. We're also looking at more ways to support homeowners who plan to rebuild with EWEB incentives or loans. The programs under development include expansion of incentives for septic system repairs and improvements, and financial support to underground electric service lines to those fire damaged homes. These new programs supplement the portfolio of energy efficiency programs that are already available to all EWEB customers. There's numerous challenges ahead, as you can imagine. There's no such thing as easy money. These grants are competitive, and sadly, the timing for most of them is such that even if our applications are successful, we won't have money in hand until mid-2022 at the earliest. This means we need to weather two more rainy Oregon winters without significant federal support for our restoration work. If we wait for federal help, it may be too late for us to work with landowners who are getting ready to rebuild now. They will have already made those critical site planning and home design decisions. There's also a critical shortage of nursery stock for revegetation efforts. Between the California and Northwest wildfires, there's an unprecedented demand for planting materials, resulting in severe shortages, and that issue is not going to be easily remedied. So there's challenges ahead of us, but there's also opportunities. So I've been thinking about what could it look like to build back stronger and smarter, to lend support to the rebuilding effort in ways that are meaningful and sustaining to benefit future generations, and to make those investments so that the McKenzie River remains a wild and pure source of drinking water, and that the recreation, the tourism, the habitat, and the other benefits continue to flow our way. EWEB has been working hard with our partners to consider just this. What if rebuilding stronger included homes that are built in materials and landscaped to be more wildfire resistant? What if newly built homes are sited back away from the river's edge so they are less prone to future flooding events and create more space to replant river frontage with native riparian friendly trees, shrubs, and grasses? If we had access to funds so that when landowners are willing and fairly compensated, we could transition properties of highly environmental value to the stewardship of the McKenzie River Trust. And I'm thinking especially of those home sites that are now at higher risk for erosion and flooding, and convert those more risky areas to naturalized greenways for the benefit of the river and for water quality. What if we could build a modern, redundant, multi-hazard alert system that signaled risk of wildfire, landslide, and earthquakes to residents and highway travelers so people had time to get out of harm's way? If we could replant this 126 right away in the scorched timberlands that are near fish-bearing streams with thousands of native mixed species plants, not just to restore the scenic corridor we hold dear, but with an eye towards carbon sequestration benefits that generate revenue through carbon offset markets, as well as create local jobs and support healthy forests. And lastly, what if we expanded nursery capacity now to grow trees and jobs in our rural communities for a multi-year restoration effort ahead of us? So I'd say that these are lots of multi-million dollar what ifs. It's going to take a lot of commitment investment at the state and federal levels. EWEB's ready to work with our partners like the county, the McKenzie CDC, our PWP coalition, philanthropic organizations, and others to rebuild stronger and smarter. We've spent the last 5 years holding our water rates stable, and we're very proud of this at EWEB. But we recognize that what lies ahead is a once-in-generation opportunity to act boldly to protect and preserve the McKenzie watershed. And that for every dollar we invest locally, we may be able to leverage four more towards a more resilient watershed while supporting economic recovery. The result could be a model for the state and perhaps the Northwest even. The challenge of whether to act now or wait for potential federal funding to arrive will be a key part of next week's EWEB board meeting as commissioners consider the appropriate level of investment EWEB should make towards these efforts. Rebuilding smarter and stronger, it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination, but there's cause for optimism because we do have that relationship and infrastructure needed to carry us into the future. Because we have visionaries who are thinking expansively, leaders who are planning strategically and with heart, and doers that are ready to get the work done now. And because many of you know that without the pure and bountiful McKenzie, we are, as Barry Lopez said, somehow a little bit less. So I'm going to stop there and turn it back to Tim Lowy.
Thank you, Janine. Janine and I have been acquainted for almost 20 years, and she does a great job of explaining what needs to be done and what the issues are. So as I said at the beginning, I am president of the McKenzie Community Development Corporation, which is a nonprofit serving what we call our 60-mile Main Street from the Springfield urban growth boundary up to Clear Lake. Our mission is to support the community, environmental, and economic aspects of life in the McKinsey, and we take it very seriously. Those three elements cannot be separated. They work together, and you really can't respond, transition, recover, or rebuild without paying attention to all three of them at the same time. We have been doing that since the day after Labor Day. The county and the community and other agencies, state, federal, and local, like EWEB, have been spectacular. Everybody has been committed to doing what they can, when they can, and they've gone over all expectations, gone over the top to help the people, to help the environment, and to help the economy that is suffering a great deal from this. I can't say enough about it. Not just Lane County, but the state of Oregon, through its different agencies and EWEB. They all take a piece, they all coordinate very well. We try and bring them a local perspective, and we try and leverage opportunities for local nonprofits, businesses, and other agencies like the school district up there. Ours is a communication role and an advisory role, and we're pleased, but we're learning every day. Those partnerships that we have and we're going to need are the best thing that we can do to accelerate this process. We need to be nimble, we need to be flexible, and we need to recognize that the conditions are fluid and changing all the time. And one size does not fit all. You're going to have to do what needs to be done at the time. And that has a lot to do with communication. Not only communications between agencies and other stakeholders, but communications with the community. We have two organizers, community organizers, on the ground up there, both of whom live up there and have lived up there. And of all the things we do, that is one of the most effective because it helps people one-on-one on issues like insurance, on issues like housing, on issues like debris removal. We couldn't do it without them, and we couldn't do it without our partners. So I want to talk a little bit about what I mentioned before in the terms of people's experience. We're in a period where people's spirits decline because they're evaluating their loss, and they're trying to look forward in a circumstance they never expected. And that will stay, it probably by the spring, it will get down to a low level and then level off. And that will stay with us for 9 or 10 months before we start to come back. There will be triggering events. There will be things in families and communities that will be disheartening, but there will also be things that bring people back. What we've been doing with the county and others is trying to bend that curve, if you will, so that it doesn't go down as far or as fast as it might. Because the biggest thing we're going to need in the long term, but in the short term, is a sense of hope and a sense of partnership. Heather mentioned the snowpocalypse. That was a natural calamity that we had upriver that lasted for 10 days, where the major portion of the river was without water because there was no power, and without communications because there was no cell coverage. People were isolated. Our resident average up there in terms of age probably skews toward the middle 60s, just because they've lived there for years and they don't want to live anywhere else. But people got the medications, people got firewood, people got food if they were short on it, because neighbors helped neighbors, friends helped friends, and family helped family. The Holiday Farm fire was on a level far beyond that. It was unexpected. It happened in a heartbeat. It went from 30 acres on Labor Day night to 32,000 acres 12 hours later. But Neighbors help neighbors, people help people, friends help friends, family help family, and we only had one fatality. There are stories probably that I couldn't count of people stopping to check on their neighbors when as they were down the, going down the highway and picking them up. One of our community organizers who happens to live in Blue River heard about the nature of the fire and how fast it was moving at about 11 o'clock at night. The power had gone off sometime before, so people went to bed. Melanie, who has some disabilities, went all through that community, pounding on doors and waking people up. And there's no exaggeration in saying that she saved lives that night, more than a few. I know of another story where an 82-year-old man was going down the river and the evacuation and turned around and came back to check on a 102-year-old woman, picked her up and took her out. Both of them lost their homes. So I would say that it's a community that trusts each other and that works with each other. They're a little bit reluctant to work with outsiders sometimes. But in this case, people appreciate it, although they get a little frustrated. So the last question is, you know, where are we now? Where will we be? And what's the timeline of recovery? Well, there are three phases to it. There's response, there's recovery, and then there's rebuild. We've been in response since the day after the fire, as all our partners and the community itself. And that will probably continue, though it's winding down a little bit into March, in terms of providing people what they need in terms of essentials, food, housing, etc. We've had community relief centers set up, but we're also beginning the recovery phase. And that will likely, these all overlap, that will likely go on for 12 months or so. And that is what Janine was talking about and Heather talking about as well, is how do you identify what needs to be done in a circumstance and help get those there at the local, county, state, and federal level, as well as interagency with nonprofits and community members. The rebuild portion of that will probably start in 2022 and go on for 24 to 36 months. So for ourselves and for the people living in the valley and for the people, the strategic partners we have, we're going to be at this for years to come. And we anticipate that and we expect that, and we're working together to try and address issues as they come up. But as I said before, all of us need to be nimble, all of us need to be flexible, and all of us need to be able to adapt almost on a moment's notice. Where we are now is in recovery and finishing response. People can help by going to our particular website, which is mckinseyrecovery.org, where we have updated information almost daily. We have links to information and other things. And we have pages for different community organizations and businesses where people can see what's going on and help if they wish. We're trying to help people out all together throughout the whole fire area and throughout the valley, because we're one community. And we'll continue to do that. We'll let people know what we need and others know. But more than anything, we need hope. People need hope because there's been a sense of despair. And because of the nature of the McKinsey, I see that emerging. That same partnership of people, family, friends, and neighbors helps people get through what's a dark time. And I think we've succeeded in not falling as far or as fast as we could in terms of community spirit. So I'll leave it there and turn it back over to Karen for the next phase.
Thank you, Tim Lowy, Commissioner Heather Buck, and Janina Parisi for your thoughtful comments about what has been happening up the McKinsey and the response and recovery process following the Holiday Farm fire.
This has been our January 29th, 2021 program, After the Holiday Farm Fire, What Does It Mean to Rebuild? Our programs are always available on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook page. More details and information about future programs can be found online at the City Club's newly designed website, cityclubofeugene.org. Now, I would like to thank today's speakers for a great program. Commissioner Heather Buck, Tim Lawy, and Janine Parisi, thank you for a great program. This concludes today's forum. Be well and stay safe.
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org or our Facebook page for more topics. We hope you are inspired to join us for our next podcast episode.